Certainly glad that you're here today, especially those that are visiting with us. We have a number of family members here today from different families. We're always glad to see that. We have some as well. And certainly we appreciate that and appreciate the fact of you making your way to come and to worship with us this morning and to glorify God. One thing I would like to mention before I start, and that's just a thank you for the men, especially that do the Lord's Supper and the talk concerning the Lord's Supper. I was preaching in North Carolina a couple of weeks ago, and we witnessed there just something that I'm just not used to because I'm here. And that was the fact that they talked about everything in the Lord's Supper except the Lord's Supper. And it was very difficult in the beginning to set your mind to partake of the Lord's Supper when someone's doing that. And I just want to commend the men who teach the classes and those that prepare the talks for the Lord's Supper, how you do set our mind for the Lord's Supper. And I certainly appreciate that. And I witnessed the opposite while I was away. In Acts, the 10th chapter, we have the story of Cornelius. And in verse 17 beginning, it says, "Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry from Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?'" That's what I just want to break off this morning and to talk about for a few minutes. As we look at this question that Peter poses, for what reason have you come? Other versions talk about, why did you come here? What is the reason you're here? Why have you come? In fact, I just want to talk this morning about why are you here? Why are you here this morning? When we look at this question, why are you here? We might ask the questions, why did you come to services this morning? Or it might be the fact, what are you doing here? Or have you ever gone somewhere and not accomplished the intended purpose? Maybe you go to school, but you didn't study. Maybe you go shopping, and you didn't shop. That's not a problem in our family, but some people might do that. In the office, you might want to talk to your boss about a raise, but you didn't. Maybe it's a friend house, and you went to talk about his or her soul, but you ended up talking about everything but that. And the same could happen when we come to services. So we ask the question this morning, why are you here? Why are you here? There are some wrong purposes, motives, that we'll look at first of all this morning when we think about this. Why are you here? What is the fact that other people expect it? I demand it. Just some examples here regarding this. Maybe the elders are putting pressure on you. So you come so they'll get off your back. Maybe it's parents. Down in the country, I witnessed this down in the country, that a whole family of people, when their parents died, the next Sunday, they were gone. They had totally stopped. They had seemingly been faithful for the sons and daughters. They had seemingly been faithful for 40, 50 years maybe. The parents were in their 80s, 90s. Both of them died. And the whole family just stopped. They quit. They quit coming all together. Maybe it's a mate. But that's a wrong motive for why you're here. A lot of people now, they choose a church because of maybe business contacts. Some churches today put out some sort of directory about business contacts that here's all the selling points that you can have in this church. So some choose a church based on that. Or it might be that you'll use a church's sales targets. Maybe when those sales targets dry up, then you move to the next church. You move to the next church after that when all those sales targets dry up. But that's not the right motive for why we're here. Maybe it's to socialize. Focus on going to church is visiting, talking, enjoying relationships that we have. And if we're not careful, and I know that we all enjoy this, but if we're not careful, then worship becomes secondary. We're here to worship too. But I really want to come and see this person. We got plans after church. We're gonna play ball after church, or we're gonna go to Pizza Inn after church. That's where we used to go. We were young and just had a great time. But the danger is sometimes that worship can become secondary to us if all we're looking is just to socialize with people. Or the church is a place to meet friends and to develop a social circle. There's other people that, well, this is what I've always done. And because I've always done this, I'm probably going to always do this. I can't tell you the reasons why. I can't tell you any scriptures. It's just the idea that it's just become something of habit to me, or maybe tradition to me, and I just don't feel right not coming. Or it might be a cover for sin. For an hour a week, if I can come, it's going to soothe my conscience for the other 667 hours a week. In fact, what it's going to do, it's going to balance out. It's going to balance out all the sin that I commit throughout the week. I'm going to drink, I'm going to carouse, maybe take drugs, maybe do this, that, the other. Everything that is unholy, I'm going to do. But I tell you what, I'm going to come that hour to church, and that's going to balance me out for the week. Some people feel like that. That's what they want. going to soothe their conscience. Well, what about the right motives? Well, when we talk about this, we're talking about worshiping God. The purpose of assembling is to worship. To worship. We see in John chapter 4, verse 24. John 4 and then verse 24. Says God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. In Revelation 22:9, he says to worship God. Very end of the book. Worship God. In Hebrews and in chapter 13 and in verse 15. Hebrews 13 and in verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. So it's a sacrifice of praise. So we understand that. We can understand something else as well here, and that is the God we worship. He is the creator of all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is almighty, as it talks about the relationship in this scene that John is seeing between himself and God, and what he sees there. He sees the Son as well in another chapter, but here in this chapter he's talking about God. And that he is almighty, that he is eternal. We see in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5, that he is great and he is awesome. The God we worship. Can that be overdone? Can God be praised too much? Can God be honored too much? Is there a point where we need to repent of our overemphasis on praise? Well, no, that's ridiculous. We're never going to be able to overdo the praise that we show towards God. Praise involves not what you get, but what you give. Again, as I stated this morning in the Bible class, the idea of worship in its simplest form is that of worth. What is God worth to you and to me? That's the question. What is God worth to you and to me? Well, we see in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 19. Ephesians 5 and in verse 19. Ephesians 5 verse 19. It says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To the Lord. What am I giving? What am I giving to the Lord? When Phil led us in the beautiful songs he led this morning, what am I giving to the Lord? In Hebrews and in chapter 2 and in verse 12. Hebrews 2 and in verse 12. Hebrews 2 and in verse 12. He says in verse 12, and I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. The attitude of true worship? Well, the attitude of true worship is joy. We see this in Psalm 95. I put this up here for you. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The seed is his who made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship. Bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our maker. He is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice." Now, does that sound like this is just a spectator sport? That's what a lot of people do when they come to church. Some people like to come to church, but they like to come to church as a spectator. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be involved, but I will come as a spectator. And I enjoy that. Is that pleasing to God? Well, we see something else here as well. We are strengthened spiritually. To be strengthened spiritually, we are edified when we study. When we worship together in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 12. Ephesians 4 and in verse 12. Ephesians 4 and in verse 12. It says, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of his service, to the building up of the body of Christ." In verse 16, it says, "From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Well, how does that work? Well, each individual part has to do their part. And if not, the logic is it's going to be difficult for the growth of the body, for the building up of itself in love. Faith is built and strengthened by the Word of God. We talked a little bit about that this morning. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. That's why various classes are important. Also to encourage and strengthen one another. And we just talked about singing. So we ask the question again. Why are you here? Why are you here? To worship God? What's God worth? What's God worth to you? 168 hours a week? 1 hour? That's 1%. Is God worth 1% to you? We might even ask the question, why bother? Why bother? There are occasions when people go places and they wonder, why even bother? I'll go to the cardiologist here in a couple of months, like I do every year. And maybe this year I'll say, well, why bother? Why bother? Why do what he says? Just gonna chuck all those pills down, throw them in the garbage, and forget about it. It's gonna save me a little bit of money every month. Maybe I can go out and enjoy that money in some other way. Why bother? Why bother? Well, that'd be ridiculous. We don't do that. Maybe a family reunion. I'm going to be with a lot of family this week. When I get together with all of them, I'm going to go over and I'm going to sit in the corner and I'm not going to talk to anybody. Is that logical? Is that what people normally do at a family reunion? That you've gone to the family reunion, but you go and you don't want to talk to anybody? Well, why would you bother? Maybe go to a restaurant. I really want to go to that restaurant. I really like Chewy's. We ate at Chewy's the other day. Really like Chewy's, but when I get to Chewy's, I don't want to eat anything there. Well, why did I bother wanting to go to Chewy's? Maybe go hunting. Go hunting, but you don't take a weapon. Maybe go to school, but you refuse to study. Maybe that's the idea. Oh, why? Why bother? Why bother? Well, maybe the fact that you're half-hearted concerning worship. I don't know people's hearts. I don't know people's lives. I do know that worship means worth. What is God worth to you? Now, there's different reasons why people miss, but sometimes He calls out willful sin. And I suppose willfully missing. Is there something, is there a problem with that? Is there something wrong with that? If I'm showing God's worth, what does that say about willfully sinning, missing? Maybe that of participating. And again, it's not a spectator sport. Requires your participation. You must sing. You must pray. Partake of the Lord's Supper. Give. But if I don't want to do my part, why bother? If I don't want to live right at other times, talking about a Christian cannot continue in sin. Do I need to continue in sin? The grace may abound. One of the questions, Romans chapter 6, Apostle Paul says, God forbid that she would even think like that. We see that sin hinders our worship in 1 Peter chapter 3 as he talks about the husband and wife relationship. That it would hinder your prayers. If it would hinder your prayers, I take it would hinder your worship. Or vice versa. With the woman. If they're not living as they should, as husband and wife. Proverbs 28:9. Go over there for a minute. Proverbs 28:9. In Proverbs 28, verse 9, it says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." I've been blessed. You've been blessed. Your home you live in, because of God. The spouse that you're married to is because of God. The children that you have, that you enjoy, is because of God. Your grandchildren, great-grandchildren that you might have, it's because of God. That car you drive out there in the parking lot, it's because of God. Everything that you do in your life that you enjoy is because of the Lord. Because of God. And the question is, we ask the question, what is God worth to you and to me? What's God worth to us? Our heart and mind need to be in it. We've already talked about John 4:24 and Ephesians 5:19. We see that concentration is required. But what can happen is it can become that formalism. We just come in. In Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Isaiah 29 verse 13. Isaiah 29 is one of those pages in your Bible that might be stuck together, because you just don't normally go to Isaiah 29. But Isaiah 29 and verse 13. It says, verse 13, that the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. You come in, Phil leads the song. You don't think about the song, you know the song by heart. You're not speaking to one another. You're not speaking to God. You're just going along, going through the motions. It can happen with prayer. It can happen with the Lord's Supper. Formalism is sometimes very present in people's lives. So we get to the last point today in the lesson. Yours, my time's up. Getting our priorities straight. We see to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. To sanctify God or to set Him apart, we see even the closest relationships, that God is to be first in our lives. But conflicts are going to cause reshuffling with us a lot of times. It might be the fact that first I need to do this. I just need to get my grass cut. I know God is really worth a lot to me. He's really worth a lot to me, but I really need to get that grass cut. I know that I can encourage, but I tell you what, God is really worth a lot to me, but I really need to go to the lake this afternoon. I need to go to the ball game. So I need to go watch the soccer game this evening. Oh God, He's worth a lot to me. But conflicts cause reshuffling. With Mary and Martha, He said to Martha, He said, "You are troubled. You're troubled about many things." She had to reshuffle some things in her life. Our demons who love this present world. So what's your priority? With some, it's not a question of what they're going to do. With others, it might be the fact that, well, I just have other priorities other than this. And when a conflict arises, which of the two takes the priority? Why are we here? We're getting ready to stand and sing the song of invitation. The idea of why keep Jesus waiting. So we'd encourage you that if you need to be baptized this morning, that you'll do so. If you need to repent of your sins, we invite you to come right now while together we stand, while we sing.